All right, Bridgepoint, how are we doing this morning? Everybody feeling good? Yeah. I just need on every campus, Clearwater, downtown, Seminole, Tyrone, joining at home, I need to know who's excited to be in church this morning. Anybody feeling good? So cool. I am so glad that you're here, whatever campus or online device you're joining us on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of what God's doing here and just checking it out. Please let us know that you're here. It'd be an honor to know, especially if it's your first time, whether you're tuning in or joining us live in one of these sites. Stop by and say hello to somebody because we're so pumped that you're here. We'd love to meet you. We're in the middle of a series called Half Full. If you've missed any of it, go back and check this one out. This one's all about the power of perspective. Week one, we talked about that really gaining any kind of healthy perspective is going to begin when you and I can take an attitude and approach of thanksgiving, being aware of the many reasons we have to be thankful and expressing that thanks to God. And then week two, last week, Chad did an awesome job of reminding us that too often we focus on the here and now instead of viewing things through an eternal or forever perspective. But the forever perspective is actually what matters because we as human beings have a soul that will live on for forever. So how are we investing ourselves into that? And just because this series is about perspective and ultimately because I'm a total fool, I have to ask you a question to settle something between my wife and I, and she's home sick today, so I know she's watching. This is how stupid I am. Is it too early for Christmas stuff to go up? Yes. So every campus, show of hands, is it too early for Christmas? You vote for it. Yes. Okay, every campus, show of hands, are we well within the window that Christmas stuff can be coming up? All right? Yeah, so don't misunderstand me. I'm not anti-Christmas. You know, I'm all about it. But in my family, as an individual, I lost the battle this year. And November 11th, that was this past Monday, our Christmas tree went up. Don't applaud that. So I just wanted to make sure that my views were within the majority. So tonight, when I'm sleeping on the couch because of my foolish decision, I do so knowing I was right. All right? Power of perspective. It's all in how you see it. It's all in how you see it. And too often we look at our lives represented by this jar right here, and we look at everything in them, and too often we're seeing ourselves as half empty, not worthy, not good enough, not gifted enough, don't know, have enough resources. You fill in the blank for yourselves instead of reminding ourselves that really faith is what completes us, that we weren't intended to be 100% at life, but just 100% at being ourselves. The big idea we've kind of been revolving around in this series is that a half-empty perspective won't produce a full faith. A half-empty perspective won't produce a full faith because if we're too busy focused on where we're lacking or how we don't have enough, how we're not good enough, again, you fill in the blank, then we miss out on an opportunity to experience all that God has for us. In fact, as we've been thinking about this series, the question that keeps coming to my mind is this one. How often do we forfeit God's blessings because we view things from a half-empty perspective? How often do we forfeit God's blessings because we view things from a half-empty perspective? Blessings for us, things that God wants to do for us, but also blessings for others that God would want to use to work in and through us to make an impact on other people. Today, we're going to talk about the question of what does impact look like when we're half empty or half full type of people. Now, I also would be remiss not to encourage you to come back next week because Tim Whipple will be in the house closing out this series. It's going to be so good, okay? So do not miss this when our lead pastor will be back to close out the half full series. But today we're talking about a circumstance. I was reminded of this even in preparing for this message series of a situation that Jesus encountered. It's always interesting the way Jesus talked and the way he navigated life, the way he handled people and loved them, the way he handled situations, and his forever perspective, his eternal perspective was always so keen on what was bigger. And today I want to take a peek into an actual event that happened while Jesus was living. He was invited to a party, and I want you to see the power of his perspective because you're actually going to see two different perspectives. If you have your Bibles on any campus, turn with me to Mark chapter 14. You can pull it up on your phone. or just follow along because we'll put it on the screen. But as we work through this story, I want you to see not just the differing perspectives that Jesus encountered, but I want you to see how those perspectives affected the people that expressed them. I want you to see how the perspectives of the people affected the people that expressed those perspectives, because that's what matters. Is your faith journey, can I ask you a question? Is your faith journey missing out because your perspective is half empty? Is your faith journey, is your journey with God, whether you're all in, you've been all in on Jesus for a long time, maybe you're not sure, you're just sort of trying to figure things out, or somewhere in between, and all are welcome here. But I wonder if your perspective, your faith journey is missing out because your perspective of all of this, coming from a half empty place, is missing out on the power that God wants to do in, through, and for you. Here was the scenario, the dinner party that I was talking about. Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 3. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. Interesting scenario setting it up. This story, just for the record, is presented in all four Gospels, which means it was a pretty important story because the writers of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all wanted us to hear this story. Dinner party. They all wanted us to hear about the story that occurred there. Well, they were invited into the home of a guy named Simon who had been cured of a disease that back in this day was often deadly, at least socially, but certainly even physically. But because he was previously had it, he was healed from it, setting the table to invite Jesus over. I want you to see the perspective of what happens next. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over Jesus' head. Now pause for me for just a second, because I want you to see the power of this moment, that we can have the full perspective of what was going on. First of all, because it was a dinner party, that means back in this culture, that was a socially high-ranking event. You only invited important people to your dinner parties, and you only dined with the people that you wanted to be there. So this was an exclusive meeting for it to have involved Jesus, especially in the religious context of a man who'd been healed from leprosy. This was an important meeting. And so because of that, check this context out. A woman came in. A woman came in. Back in this culture, women were treated less than. And I'm so thankful for the picture and the demonstration of Jesus that time and time again, he valued women. He valued all people, but he valued women as they deserved, not as their culture treated him. But the fact that she was jumping in on this dinner party, that was significant because she's making a statement. She wasn't invited into that. But what we also read about this woman, especially in some of the other stories that give just a little bit different perspective on the details, this was not just a random woman. This was a woman that everybody around the table knew because she was a known sinner. A known sinner. So this isn't just a random woman walking in. This is a woman that walked in whose reputation preceded her in all the wrong ways. The moment she steps in, all of these religious elite, these power and control by nature type of people would have instantly been filled with all the thoughts of what is she doing here? We know about her. And Jesus, if you knew about her, if you knew what was going on with her, you'd probably ask to dismiss her because she doesn't belong here. Because even before she said a word, everybody in that room, and you're going to see what I mean in just a moment, they were instantly filling their minds with all the wrong thoughts about this woman. But the Gospels tell us that she had had an encounter with Jesus previously that changed her life. It turned her from the reputation woman to a woman that said, I want to be all in on who Jesus was because he loved me when the rest of these people have condemned me. Jesus loved her when the rest of the people had cast her aside. Jesus saw her when everyone else would do anything to avoid her. She was making a statement at this dinner party. It's a dinner party that a woman comes into whose reputation precedes her, and she brings in a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. Again, she's making an incredible statement, because when everybody in the room saw that she was carrying the perfume made from the essence of nard, they all would have been like, did she bring the essence of nard perfume? Dude, she's got the nard. That's the essence of, that's not like just smell good stuff. She brought the essence of nard. Nard, actually, the reason behind that is because nard, it was expensive. Not only expensive financially, but it was time consuming because it was only grown in a certain area. You had to travel a long way to get perfume made by the essence of nard, which means it cost you your livelihood back. You didn't just jump in a car and go. You set out to go pick this up and bring it back home. So financially, and with your time, with your energy, with your effort, she was probably saving this for a long, long time. She'd probably had been saving up for it for a long, long time. This woman was making a statement to this room full of men, and she showed up not just as a woman to their dinner party with a reputation, but she showed up carrying a beautiful jar filled with the most precious and expensive thing of perfume that she could find. This was a huge moment. This wasn't just a dinner party interruption. This was a massive sacrifice that was about to occur. And I want you to see the beginning of the perspectives to develop. Here's what I mean. Very next verse. Some of those at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. Now remember, she came in and they were judging her as she walked into the room. They knew who she was. They knew what she had been about. They knew she was undesirable. So she already had it stacked against them. But then these guys sitting at the table, who, by the way, in this day and age were probably religious elite. Unfortunately, religion being the operative word, they were about power and control. They weren't about caring about this woman. They weren't even about caring about Jesus. They were just mad that this woman came in and was making a statement. Interestingly enough, some of the same people sitting at the table were some of the people that Jesus was closest with. Some of his disciples were sitting right there. And a room full of men watching this woman offer an incredibly expensive, an incredibly costly, and an incredibly personal sacrifice. Because back in this day and age, for her to broke it over Jesus' head and begin to wash him, essentially, to serve him, to stoop so low, to make sure he was lifted physically, smelling so good. This was a massive moment. And the guys sitting there, the guys that supposedly cared about people, they just had all the good reasons not to give. Why would you waste that? We could sell it and give it to the poor. Oh, I love that these religious people of the time were so thoughtful for poor folks. I love that their very first thought was, well, look at all the good we could do with that. If she'd have sold that, we could take care of so many poor people. Don't you love how people so naturally love to be able to spend other people's money? And because they were really just concerned about power and control, being in charge, what they were really concerned about for this woman was just having control over her too, and her stuff, what she was bringing. So they judged her. Then they tried to dress it up. They knew they were sitting in front of Jesus. But it wasn't the fact that she was serving him. It was the fact that they tried to paint it as something not only ugly, but as something that was off-putting to the kingdom. God, because she did this, now we'll never serve all these poor people. We'll never give it in a way that's going to have an impact. We'll never do what we would love to be able to do with it. Sometimes, while I'm in the neighborhood, for anybody that follows Jesus, sometimes he's going to ask you to give or to do things that to other people just make no sense. And there's going to be people that will peek into your life because they don't understand, they don't know Jesus, they don't know what he's about, and they're going to have an opinion on how you're spending and how you're giving and how you're going and how you're being who God made you to be. please don't ever forget that their opinion just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Because here's the bottom line of this moment. They just wanted to control her gift. They just wanted the money for her to sell what she had so they could be in charge of the money to give it to the poor, right? It is always easy to justify not giving. It's always easy to justify not giving. Chad reminded us last week, the temptation for all of us is to focus on the here and now instead of the forever. And if we don't view life, the half full life, through the lens of forever, we'll miss so much. And we so easily can justify not giving. Pull up at a stop sign and think, well, if I give them anything, they're just going to go spend it on drugs or alcohol. Well, I'm not going to give to that place because I'm not 100% in support of how they spend their giving. I'm not going to do that because I don't know the ends. I don't agree with everything that they do, so I can't support something like that. Who are they to tell me that I should give my money to them? I can't serve there. I don't think I'm good enough to be a part of that. What do I have to give? I don't even have as much as the people around us. So I really would give. I want to give. And if you could fill me up a little bit, then I would. And those are just the perspectives that I have to justify not giving. Have you ever been there? We find so many good reasons. Many of them we dress up. Well, I'm not going to give to them, but I will give to somewhere that takes care of the poor because that matters. And even though I can't trust that person with my money, I'll do something else with it. And it sounds really good, and it makes good sense in our mind, but it ultimately accomplishes nothing. Time, talent, treasure. That because we're saying, I'm kind of half empty, we make up all these great reasons that we can. We don't need to give here. We don't need to serve there. We don't need to be a part of that. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit my schedule. It doesn't fit my resources. It doesn't fit my giftedness. All these really good reasons that justify us not having to give. But it's just true. It's always easy to justify not giving. But can I remind you of something that we're about to see? The second perspective of this story. Jesus is honored in the sacrifice of giving. Period. Jesus isn't honored that we dress up not giving. Jesus isn't honored when we can excuse ourselves from having to serve. Jesus isn't honored when we can pass the buck. Jesus isn't honored when we make all these great excuses about how it's not us, not this time, not that much, not that way, not this season, not that organization, not that person. Jesus isn't honored in that. Jesus is honored in the sacrifice of giving. That's a half full perspective. That's a half full life. That's something that says, Jesus, here's who I am. And in the midst of all the reasons that will exist and try to fill my brain, I'm going to come before you and serve. Here's the woman's perspective. She takes her very best, essence of nard, to Jesus. And she breaks it over him. An incredible sacrificial cost. People around her judging her, even scolding her harshly. And look what Jesus does. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You'll always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me." He's saying, guys, you're so worried about being in control. You're so worried about coming up with excuses. You're so worried trying to justify what she's done. But she just had a moment where in her heart, she thought of something that would bless me, and then she did it. One of our values at Bridgepoint is that we get to give. And this woman, she saw an opportunity that she got to give. And she's experiencing the blessing of that. And Jesus is coming to the defense saying, yes, it was expensive. Yes, it was costly. Yes, she stepped into an arena that was totally unfamiliar to her. But she is making a sacrifice, and that's what honored him. The poor is always going to be around. In other words, you'll have your opportunities. You can come up with your reasons. You can come up with all the excuses you want. But when I'm asking you to move, when I'm asking you to give time, talent, treasures, the question is simply, will you respond? The powerful moment. What she didn't know, that woman in that moment, is that she has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. She had no idea that God was even using what she did for something far bigger. Does your giving sound more like the men that were present in the room? Judgmental? Coming up with excuses? Putting it off? Condemning even? Or with your time and with your ability and giftedness and even with your resources, do you sound much more like, Jesus, I want to do this because I know you and I know what you've done with me? Paul even goes on later in Scripture, 2 Corinthians, to talk about giving, and he says this: you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. That's the prescription for giving. Not just resources, but your time and your talents, where you encourage and where you invest and what you're a part of, but certainly also in dollar amount. Where are you giving in a space that says, God, here's what I've got, so you do something with it? James even has a very sharp reminder for us in James chapter 2, verse 15. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good does that do? The Bible has sharp warnings about how we give of our time, of our talents, of our treasures. And the temptation for all of us is to approach life from a half-empty place and come up with really great reasons to never be a part of it, because how could we? How could we? I'm just kind of a half-empty person. Here's kind of what I mean by that. My friend Emily's going to bring a bucket out. As you see this bucket coming out, I want you to think that this bucket represents need all around us. It represents potential need, right? Represents kingdom, like big time, God-sized need, the type of stuff that ultimately that God actually calls us to. And so even in our biggest moments of courage, the temptation is to say, man, God, I know for my neighborhood, God, I know you want me to make waves in my neighborhood, that tell people about you and to influence my neighbors and to be a good neighbor and to be a loving and a kind neighbor. But God, how could I? But I'm getting past the fear. I'm going to step forward and I'm going to give 100% of what I have. And so God, I'm all in on my neighborhood. You show up and do your thing. And God, I'm gonna give. And now I'm out and looking at my neighborhood, and I didn't really even accomplish all that much. And so, well, God, what am I supposed to do here, God? Many of you feel empty anyway, let alone a half-full perspective, but we spend so much energy and effort justifying the reasons not to give, right? Because I can't even make that much difference. And then if I try to make that much difference, then I live my life just spent, exhausted emotionally, or with an empty bank account. So God, what's even the point? But then think about the other need that exists. That's just my neighborhood. What about the buckets that exist for all of Pinellas County, for example? Think there's need in Pinellas County? From Clearwater to downtown, Seminole to Tyrone area, and everywhere in between? You think there's need? Bring some more of those buckets out. Because it's not just my neighborhood, it's really Pinellas County. And I'm thinking, what am I? And then it's my job, my coworkers, and my family. And then, oh man, and then it's like our strategic partners in Africa. And we had a team that just came back from Nicaragua recently. And then I think about even just across our country, do you think there's any kingdom need in our country? And I know God wants us to do stuff. And then there are people in Pinellas County that don't even sleep in their own bed at night. So how are we supposed to, oh, you're still bringing buckets out. So I'm thinking, how, okay, that's probably enough buckets. Thank you. Because I'm trying to make a splash in my neighborhood and I didn't do much. So God, what do you want me to do? Because I'm running out here and there's need in front of me. And Bridgepoint wants 10 campuses across Pinellas County. Want to reach 100,000 people for Jesus. And, as if all of this was dependent on us. But here's the power. The power is reminding ourselves that this is our jar. But we serve a God that, according to Scripture, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Tyrone's clapping now, but they don't know what's about to happen. Pray for me, because this is where things could get hairy. We remind ourselves of who God is, and when we remind ourselves of who we're not, it propels us to worship. And to simply reach a point in your heart, and maybe you've never done this before, but the reason so many of us are walking through life empty or even viewing ourselves half empty is because we've never trusted Jesus to be all for us that we need him to be. And we've never reminded ourselves that God is enough and that he is enough to satisfy and to cover us and to be enough for us, that even when we pour ourselves out, we weren't made to make the entirety of the impact. We just suddenly begin to realize, wow, when I give, Jesus is always faithful to follow through and fill me back up. So Jesus, why am I focused on what I don't have? Why don't I just say, God, you show up and do your thing right here. So then I start being willing to say, okay, what does kingdom impact look like? Because my neighborhood, I'm all in on it. Because it's not about me. It's about the people that are around me. So Jesus, show up and you start doing your thing. Because all I have to give is just my willingness to be used by you. So then we start seeing, man, because I'm willing to walk across the street and actually be kind to my neighbor, I start seeing impact happen. And then I start thinking of something incredible. Wow, God's really doing something here. So why would I let this stop? I'm going to shift to my workplace. Because this is kind of cool. I'm feeling good because Jesus is filling me. And suddenly, because I'm willing to serve and hold a door at Bridgepoint, people are finding Jesus because I made an impact. And suddenly I'm having the opportunity that even if I don't feel gifted or qualified or good enough, I'll serve in our next gen ministry because I'm reminding ourselves, it's not about what I do, it's about what God's doing through me. And I have kids running up saying, thank you for loving me. Thank you that when I felt alone, you were there. Thank you for teaching me about Jesus. And then when we get to heaven, we're having a giant party, not because I was emptying myself, but because God was faithful in coming through for me. And then I think, man, if he can do it here, then I'm going to keep on rolling because it's time for me to have an international mission trip. It's time for me to give a little more than I'm comfortable with. It's time for me to just stop saying, God, I can't. God, how could I? God, you couldn't use somebody like me to move to a position of just saying, I don't have a clue what I'm doing, but Jesus, you do. So you just keep funneling yourself and working and flowing through me because God, I know you're filling me up and I'll keep pumping myself into whatever aspect that exists around me because I just want to be a part of something, God, a part of something bigger. And I want to reach a point where I have to say, God, can you pause for a second so I can catch my breath? Because our mindset reaches a place that we look all around us and we think, what am I supposed to do? I think you're supposed to do exactly what that woman did, who brought her best. Not concerned about the cost to her because she knows that Jesus is going to take care of that. But she brought a willingness to say, I want to be a part of something bigger than me. I want to give in such a way that it impacts people, that it makes a difference, that people are talking about my life. I want my life to count for something. Because remember, Jesus is honored in the sacrifice of giving, not in the excuses of not giving, in the sacrifice of giving. So maybe the question for some of you today isn't start to examining what you do or don't have. The question for some of us is, do I want my life to make an impact? Do I want my life to count? Because here's how Jesus finished his perspective on that dinner party. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. 2,000 years later, we're talking about a woman with a reputation, a woman that was willing to go where people didn't even want her, A woman that brought her absolute best, incredibly costly sacrifice. And she poured it all out because she had met a God that changed her life and just wanted to be about maximizing him. Not concerned about how it would cost her, not concerned about what it would move her from, but concerned that others would hear about how good this Jesus was. Many of you are wondering where to invest your time. Many of you are wondering about how to invest your resources in a way that actually make a forever perspective difference. Many of you are wondering how God's wired you and how could that be used to make that kind of an impact. That's what we're trying to do here at Bridgepoint. Maybe for you it's time to get in a Rooted class. To say, I want to plug in, I want to belong, I want to invest myself somewhere that will make waves into eternity. Maybe it's time to ask questions saying, you know what, I've been passively not giving or hoping that others would, but I'm looking at my jar, but I'm not going to listen to that temptation. I'm just going to respond, Jesus. Maybe for some of you, it's time to say, you know what, God has blessed us, so it's time for me to step up and lead in this area. Maybe it's time to go even to an area or a space or a service area on any campus that you think you couldn't even influence, as if it depended on you. The question is simply, do you want to view your journey as half empty or half full? For just a moment, on every campus, would you bow your head and close your eyes? I just want to ask you a couple questions. Just in the spirit of reflection, I wonder how often we forfeit God's blessings because we're viewing things from a half-empty perspective. Let me ask you three things. One, have you ever experienced the love of God in such a way that you felt so free and so propelled to be a part of something so much bigger than you deserve or ever thought you could? Because the love of God for you exists right now. You hear that? All heads bowed, all eyes closed on every campus, those tuning in online, I need you to know God loves you so desperately and so deeply. And the invitation is open to you. Do you know him? For those that have been coming to Bridgepoint for a while, can I ask you something? When's the last time you've experienced your life making that kingdom-sized impact? That's what we're trying to do here at Bridgepoint. Is it time to serve? Is it time to give? Is it time to lead? Is it time to invest in a relationship? Because that's what God wants you to be about. For everybody. Are you positioning your heart to receive God's love in such a way that it propels you into something crazy bigger than you could ever be a part of? Because the forever perspective is the perspective that says 2,000 years later, we still want to be talking about you because of how God worked through you. Pray with me. God, our desire as a church is you, not our name, not our brand, not our campus, whichever campus we're on, but all that we're trying to be about is you, making you famous, helping people find love in you, finding the hope that only you offer, finding the peace that only can come from you, finding the value in our lives and who you say we are and the plans and purposes that you have for us. But God, I think there's a lot of us that are present that need to start with, I'm sorry. Because we've justified and we've gotten really good at not giving. We've gotten really good at not serving. We've gotten really good at not loving. In fact, God, we've gotten really good at judging. We've gotten really good at diminishing. We've gotten really good at scolding. But God, you're not honored in the reasons not to give. God, you're honored in the sacrifice of giving. So move us as a church to see life half full. That it's not about us, it's about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.